Good morning.
Morning.
If you're here visiting with us as an invited guest, we thank you. This makes our day. When we have a Friends Day and we have visiting faces, some that we've not seen in a while and some that are new to us, we're just thrilled that you're here. We love to come every Sunday and worship God together, and it just makes it extra special on a day like this to have you with us. And so thank you. With this being Friends Day, I had a few pictures for us to start out with just to get our minds thinking about what friendship means. I thought that was good. Some of you can appreciate that. You know, some friends just, we might not just naturally seem like friends, but we do go together. Sometimes you need a boost from a friend. Sometimes you're maybe like me, you really appreciate someone's friendship. Not that you're going to look them in the eye and tell them, but you do appreciate that. Sometimes just need a boost, a little help. And then I couldn't resist this one. If some of you've wondered what our dog Leon looks like, that's him. That's Leon. He is for sale. And I don't mean you pay me, I'll pay you. He is afraid of many things. We have a long list, and yesterday I added to the list. He's now also afraid of butterflies. A butterfly scared him yesterday when he was out back. I'll give you an update on what's going on in our family this week. It's been a big week for us with Stephanie. We found out about 6 weeks ago that she had breast cancer. And so this past Thursday, she had surgery, had lumpectomy and reconstructive surgery. Everything went well. My big word for you is God is good.
Amen.
And what I've always known was true, what I've always said, which is in our more difficult times and when we're down and when we need God more, He's just more. He's better. He's bigger. He's always enough. And He always amazes, and when you go through something, He will amaze you more. I've learned that God blesses through people. And I want you to know that of all the things that you, our church family, have done to encourage us, none of them are small. I mean, some are big, and just some are bigger. There's no small gesture. From a pat on the back to a text of encouragement, I got one the other day from my brother Ronnie. A week ago, he didn't know it, but we were at pre-op at the hospital, and I get a beautiful, wonderful text of encouragement from Ron, and it means the world. So there's no encouragement that's small, but thank you. God blesses through people, and I praise God for you. We went Thursday morning. We were to be there at 6 o'clock, and we were there at 6:01. We drive in, and we walk in to the waiting room where surgery will be, and someone is already there. Susan Bowen is already there. Who gets up and goes to someone's surgery and beats them to the hospital? Who does that? She did, and I don't have a picture of her, but I do have a picture of Stephanie. This is 6 o'clock in the morning in the waiting room when she sat down and started talking to Susan. Isn't she beautiful? And that picture's worth 1,000 words. That tells you what we feel about this. I have to tell you that Abby was excited to be there. We got her out of school for the day of surgery. She was excited and wanted to be there on the day of surgery. She didn't want to go to school. And so we kind of asked her about that. You know, are you worried about your mother? Kind of trying to find out, you know, what's the big deal? Finally, the night before, I asked her, you know, what are you looking forward to tomorrow about you know, going to the hospital, mom's surgery? And she said, snacks. And I said, Abby, we're going to a hospital. What do you mean snacks? She said, snacks. I said, you're going to be in a waiting room. What makes you think there are going to be snacks there? And she said, somebody will bring snacks. And sure enough, Karen Cotting comes in bringing sacks of snacks. Right? Cheese puffs, cheese nips, cheese everything. Sprite, Dr. Pepper. I was really thankful. That was my lunch that day, actually. Snacks are good. We had a number of you there that morning, which is a blessing. If you've had surgery, had a loved one in surgery, you know what a blessing that is. And we had a big round table full of snacks and our chairs all around it. This one woman comes in at one point. She comes in, she just stops and she says, "That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about." She said, "That's how this ought to be. When someone's in surgery, having all your friends here, it's a big deal." It was a great morning for God to work. Everything went well in surgery. So keep us in your prayers. We'll find out in a couple days if the lymph nodes are clear. And so we pray they are. And we know God is good. And so we want to talk about friendship today and what it means to be a friend like Jesus. I want us to look at three different times when Jesus was a friend to someone, and I've chosen the classics. These are three that you've probably heard before. They're taught often. It's the Samaritan woman, it's the woman caught in adultery, and it's Zacchaeus. And I want us to look at how Jesus was a friend to these people, and I think there's a reason these three are classics. Jesus was a friend to the friendless. Jesus was a friend to people when they were down, when they were struggling. I think we can relate to that. In fact, when Jesus was talking to his critics about what their criticism was of John the Baptist, he said, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard." Incidentally, Jesus was neither of those, but he was this last part, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's Jesus. So let's turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. We'll look at Jesus and the Samaritan woman. If I were to choose one word to summarize this woman in this part of her life, the word failure. This woman had 5 failed marriages. She was currently living with her boyfriend. If you've had failure in your life, you can relate to this woman. She's at the well in the middle of the day, and she's alone. And that's not normal. It is said that being alone is the worst kind of pain. I believe that's true. Worse than illness, worse than hunger, worse than fear. If you have to go through it alone, that would be the worst. So this woman at the well, this is the kid at school that no one likes who sits by themselves at lunch. This is the co-worker who eats by themselves in the break room. And Jesus at one point says to her, "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus wanted to give life to this woman who wasn't living. She wasn't living. She wasn't enjoying life. And that's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. We need the kindness of a friend more when we're struggling with life, don't we? Two things I've learned this week. Maybe I already knew them, but not well enough. And you learn things when you go through things. But one thing I learned is how much you need people. And of course, God gets the glory for that. But you learn how much you need people, and how much you also secondly learn how much people mean to you. A few weeks ago, this would have been about a week after we found out Stephanie had breast cancer, and it was a Wednesday night, and at that point, my mind is still, you know, swirling with all these things. What lies ahead? What's this going to be? We're on a different road now, and we've not been on this road, and this one's rocky. This one's going to be different. And so my head's kind of swirling, and my emotions, I don't know how to describe it other than my heart was in my throat. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. But I'm buckling it down. You know, it's a Wednesday night fellowship across the street. And at one point I'm standing talking to someone, and I look over and Stephanie's sitting down at one of the round white tables, and Missy Prater sits down with her. And I look over and I see this on the table. And then I see Stephanie open this up. And I can't tell what they're saying. But I see Stephanie putting on this bracelet. And I don't know what was said, but I know what was happening. I know Stephanie's sister and my sister was telling her, I'll stand with you. You're not alone.
Amen.
Stephanie's received a number. She has more bracelets than you can shake a stick at. And she loves them. And I love them. I love all of them. Liz gave her and her sister's matching pink bracelets. Connie Ray came by the house the other night, gave her a beautiful one. She has numerous ones. I can't talk about every one. But this one's my favorite. I call it her Wonder Woman bracelet. I love this one. Partly because it's the first one. And it was the first, you know, moment that lets us know we're not alone. We're not going to be alone. I didn't think we were. It's not like I thought we were. But, you know, when someone expresses friendship in a tangible way, it's powerful. And Jesus teaches us that. Turn in your Bibles to flip over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is the woman caught in adultery. If I were to choose one word that summarizes this woman, it's the word guilty. Guilty. If you've ever messed up, if you've ever blown it, if you've ever failed miserably, ever had people blame you, and you were not the only one to blame, but you received the blame, maybe you received the brunt of it. In a time like that, you know, boy, I could really use a friend. May not feel like you deserve a friend, but you could sure use one. This woman was caught in adultery. She was dragged before Jesus. By the way, they didn't bring the man, just brought her. While Jesus was teaching, they made her stand before him and they questioned Jesus what to do with her. Of course, it was a trap. It wasn't about the woman at all. It was a trap to try to get Jesus in trouble. And they questioned Jesus what to do with her. They say, the law says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say? Jesus pauses for a minute. And then he answers them. He says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And of course, no one did. They walk away one by one, no doubt thinking of their own sin. And Jesus asked the woman, has anyone condemned you? She says, no. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Jesus teaches us to love people in spite of where they are, in spite of what they're in spite of how they're living, in spite of what sin may be in their life. It's not that we approve of it. We don't approve. We don't condone. We love them. We want to love them away from it. And Jesus did that, but he loved her in spite of it, didn't he? I mean, he was a friend to her in spite of it. Jesus is a friend regardless. And you will need a friend no more, no greater than when you're dead in sin. Right? Guilty. That's when we need a friend more than ever. Ecclesiastes 4:10, great passage. This was in our scripture reading this morning. It says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. We need to be this kind of friend. And then Zacchaeus, Luke 19. If I were to think of one word to describe Zacchaeus, it's the word outcast. Outcast. I always love the story of Zacchaeus. Not just... Well, I loved it because he was short, for one, because I was always short. I was always small, was a late bloomer, was young in my grade. Always a short kid, and I could appreciate a guy like Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was short on popularity also. He wasn't liked. People didn't understand him. They thought he was crooked, heartless, deceitful, like most tax collectors probably were. And all he wanted to do was see Jesus. He heard Jesus was coming to town, and Jesus is passing through Jericho, and Zacchaeus wants to see him. Zacchaeus runs ahead. He climbs a sycamore tree. It seems that he's by himself, but he just wants to see Jesus. And Jesus comes to that place, and Jesus stops, and Jesus shocks everyone. He says, "Zacchaeus, hurry. Come down, for I must stay at your house today." When you feel the world is against you, to have one person show you kindness means everything, doesn't it? If you've ever been in a place where you felt like, man, I think the whole universe is against me, just to have one person to stand with you, to be your friend. I'll never forget the day in second grade, 7 years old. I remember exactly where I sat in class, and I had to go to the bathroom. And I get up, I go up to the teacher, I say, "Teacher, I got to go to the bathroom." She says, "You wait just a little bit longer. We're about to have recess. You can just wait a little bit longer." I go sit down. I wait a little bit. I got to go. I get up. I go again. I say, "Teacher, I really got to go to the bathroom. We're just about to break for recess. You can just wait in just a minute." I sit down. I go up a third time. "I really got to go now." And she dismisses me and lets me go, I'm not able to wait to go till I get to the bathroom. And there's a trail down the hall. So my parents come up and they bring clothes. You know, I get cleaned up, get changed into new clothes. Kids are out on the playground. And I remember going out on the playground that day after that. And I remember one kid who came up to me. He didn't say anything about, you know, the accident. He just talked to me like nothing happened. And his name is Corey DeWardy. And he and I were not great friends before that day. And for whatever reason, after that day, we were not necessarily great friends. But that day, he was Jesus to me. Because for me to just have one person who would stand with me, that means everything, doesn't it? And that's what Jesus teaches us. In all those cases, incidentally, think about those three. They're classic stories. Those people didn't have a friend. They were alone. Jesus teaches us to be people's friend in their darkest hour. He teaches us to be people's friend that we don't even know. In Matthew 25, in fact, Jesus says, "At judgment, the king will answer, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" If you ever have the opportunity to be a friend to someone, to show kindness, to serve someone that can't serve you back, to be a friend to someone who really can't do much back for you, if you're ever in a position to help someone who needs help, and you're just giving and you're not receiving much back, praise God, because that is a greater honor than we understand, isn't it? Because Jesus says, when you do that, you're doing that to me. When we're able to be a friend to someone and be a tool in the Master's hand, we may miss it, we may not understand it, but man, that's an honor to be used by God to bless another person. I want to share one story with you and then a video. So we come home from the hospital on Thursday. Not on Thursday. We come home Friday, the day after. And you know how they wheel you out of the hospital? You got to wait till they're going to wheel you out. If you've ever wondered, why won't they just let you leave the hospital? I figured it out. I've solved it. I know why they make you wait till they wheel you out. You do already realize this, that they will shove you out of the hospital before you really feel like you're ready to go. You can't walk to your car from your room when they're ready to get you out, all right? That's why they wheel you out. You can't walk that far. You can barely walk to the nurse's station, and they say you're ready. So out we go in the, you know, on the cart, and that's okay. But we come home, and you know when you come home from the hospital, it's a stressful time because when you're in the hospital, you have medication. I mean, good medication. Good medication. And you have nurses. You can ask any dumb question you want. You get home, you're like, what are we supposed to do about this? Well, they said something. It was in a paper. She handed me a paper. Where's the paper? I don't know. I mean, it gets kind of crazy when you come home and stressful. We come home and we have our den set up with a few things in there. We prepared for Stephanie to come home and be able to stay in there however long. And we come home and somebody has come and decorated that room. Not that it was undecorated, but I mean they really decorated. Flowers, pillows, curtains, a table that slides up to a chair, a lamp. Things with sayings on them, like one of them says, "Be thankful always." Another one says, "Let go and let God." The lamp says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." And on the wall, and this is my favorite, I brought this, says, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is Stephanie's motto for this chapter of her life, to just be still and to know. And you come home to all that, and it blows you away. And Stephanie said yesterday, we were talking about it, she said, "What do you do for someone who does something like that?" I said, "Give him a dog." So I have a dog. I have a dog for Jessica Hendricks. But in all seriousness, small things and large things, that's a large thing. It's large and larger, but that's being a friend like Jesus. That's what I mean by being a friend like Jesus. Whether it's something large, whether it's something larger, people need Jesus, don't they? I have a video, I think it in visual form, better maybe in some ways than I can express it, says what I'm trying to say today. I wanted our guests to be able to see this, so watch this.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome.
Teaches us to have a heart for the hurting, to love the lonely, to be a friend to the friendless, because when you were dead in your sins, God was a friend to you. And we're going to sing an invitation song in a minute, Lord, Reign in Me. I want you to know, if you don't have a church home, you need a church home. And if you're looking for a church home, you have found a church home. Amen. We've invited you today, but that's not the end of our love for you. And we want you to come back. And so please know that. Please think about that. Pray about that. We're going to sing a song about God reigning in us. People need God, and they're going to see Him through us. So think about that this week. If there's someone here that has a need that we could lift up to God, we'd love to do that. If we could help you in any way, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.
Over all the earth You reign on high. Every mountain, stream, every sunset sky.